were away. Thank you for your patience. Right, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to move this over because I'm kind of leaning over all the time. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Notice I said in. Oops, wrong one. Notice I said in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? You know, what does it actually mean? Okay, so if you want to know more about that, we check out the old, our human manual. Every car has a manual, everything that's made has a manual. We have a manual, it's called the Bible. And when in doubt, read the instructions. How many times have you got stuff and you've had to make it and you think, oh yeah, right, and off you go, and then you're halfway through and think, I've got to read the instructions. Okay, so there is a lot of scriptures in this, as usual. Okay. So what is baptism in the Holy Spirit? Jesus said in Luke 24:49, this is all from the International Version, of course, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from high, on high. And also in Acts 1:4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Now you'll notice it says the word command there. Okay. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that my Father promised, which you have heard about, heard him speak about. So, if you look at that sentence that says, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. The key words to that sentence is command, gift, promised, and he spoke about it. When you read the Bible, what happens is, you know, you see these science fiction movies and that, and then a robot comes in or an android comes in and he looks at everyone and there's, and then he reads something and all the words go, choo, choo, choo. Well, when I read the Bible, that's exactly what happens, is that key words go, choo, choo, like, choo, choo, choo. True. So like I say, the main things about that sentence is command, gift, promise, speak about. What was this promise Jesus was talking about? God promised to pour out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. So let's look at Joel 2:28. This isn't the New Testament, by the way. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Now, that was exciting in that day because these people lived in the Old Testament. This is pre-Joel, pre-Jesus. And the only people that had this Holy Spirit were the prophets. Very few people had it. That's why they were held so high and looked after by the community. So Jesus, Joel's saying here, all people. So that's pretty a good thing to look forward to. So when did this outpouring commence? Well, the last time I preached here, it was I preached on the Sunday, which we commemorate as the day of Pentecost. So that's when it happened. Acts 2:1-4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That would have been exciting. I mean, we've probably, some of us here have seen that. This is something totally new in that day. Acts 2:16-18. And this is, remember they went from the upper room and they kind of went out into the street and they were prophesying and people heard them and they thought, oh, these guys are drunk. Right. I don't know if you know the story. And I think it was Peter, he said to them, "No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." There's a bit of a key in there, I don't know if you notice. 18, it says, "Even on my servants, both men and women." There's no separation. Keep that in mind. Because in those days, everything was about the men. That held a position of authority. But this is going to happen to all of my servants, both men and women. Okay, why was it necessary for the disciples to wait? What did John say about this? John 7, 37, 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Remember what he said? "Unless I go, the Comforter won't come." And also in Acts 2:23, exalt to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Was this promise only for the apostles? No. In apostolic days, so that's pre, Jews and Gentiles received this gift. So let's look at Acts 10:44-48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even to the Gentiles. So the Holy Spirit doesn't distinguish. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. Also in Acts 11:15-17, "As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'" Some Bibles say fire. "So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" So you'll notice that the promise of Joel is for all flesh. There's no distinction in Christ Jesus. As it says in Galatians 3:28, listen to this. "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now there's a key here. I'll push this key in. So isn't it interesting, listen to this, no male and female. Why is there so much contention in the church about women preachers and pastors? When a woman stands up here and preaches the gospel, who's standing preaching? The Spirit of God, not a woman. All right, so just put that in your heart. I've always believed that. Well, that's how it's supposed to work, isn't it? I'm giving you the word of God. I believe that I'm anointed in the Holy Spirit, and what's coming out of my mouth is Holy Spirit to you. Isn't that how it works? So if it's a woman standing here, it's the Holy Spirit working through the woman. Just happens to be a female vessel or a slave or a Gentile. You don't have to agree with me, but don't you think that's interesting? I mean, I didn't write that. That's what it said. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. It's talking spiritually here, not physically. All right? You got that?
Yes.
Good. Is this promise, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for us today? Yes, and it includes every child of God. Acts 2:39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God will call. And also Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons, your daughters prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. So I've said that before, but it's important in here. We are told the promise was for the last days, and Peter claims it for his day. So when Peter was there, he said, I'm in the last days. After Christ is the last days. We don't know when the time is. Could be tomorrow. Live every day as if he's coming back now. Tomorrow, next week. No, probably live every day as if he's coming back in the next few minutes. And that's a key to your living in the Spirit. So Peter claimed it for his day. So that would also mean that it is for our day. The days preceding the Lord's second coming, as explained in Joel, again, 2:28-31. And after it, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. And again, what I read before. I'll read that. I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women. Here we are again. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke, and some will be turned to darkness. So that's probably talking about something a bit past what, us, and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Yeah, I don't know about that dreadful day. We're at the mercy of the righteous sometimes. Aren't we baptized in the Holy Spirit when we're saved? Interesting one. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience separate and distinct from new birth. So like I said today, when you know, it was exciting when I first came into church, I baptized five people all at once. My pastor came all the way from Stratford to see it. He thought, oh, five at once. Great. So that's about rebirth. That's about reconnecting spiritually. It's not about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, though it could be a part. Okay, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience separate and distinct from the new birth. At Pentecost, they were already saved before the outpouring. Jesus had previously assured them that they were clean in John 13:10. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. And also in Luke 10:20, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And in Samaria, in Acts 8:12, they believed that they were baptized, fulfilling Mark 16:16, and yet had not received the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:12, but when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And why men? Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. But have not all Christians the Holy Spirit? To be born of the Spirit, John 3:6, is different from being baptized in the Spirit. Notice the Holy Spirit baptism is the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Did you know that New Zealand is the ends of the earth from where they said that?
Yeah.
Cool, eh? What's the baptism for? It is to impart power for Christ's service. I could not do what I do now without the power of the Holy Spirit. If it was a few years ago, I would have hidden under the carpet. All right. Luke 24:49. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit in regeneration imparts life. The Holy Spirit in the baptism imparts power. Slight difference. Okay. In this experience, is this experience necessary for a Christian? This is the big debate. Luke 3:22. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love with you. I am well pleased. Jesus did not start his ministry until this happened. You do know that. That it was after his baptism that his ministry started. Also, the 120 were commanded to tarry, that's wait, until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. Acts 1:4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father's promised, which you have heard me speak about. So he's not just saying, hey, just hang about. He's saying, I command you. New Testament converts were immediately shown their need of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:14-16. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is just straight scripture on. Telling you. It is God's command to believers, Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Should we expect supernatural signs to follow our being baptized with the Holy Spirit? Mark 16:17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons and they will speak in new tongues. The New Testament experience was always accompanied by a physical manifestation. Acts 2:33, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Acts 8:18, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given on the laying of hands of the apostles, he offered them money. This isn't our apostle type Simon. This was a guy, Simeon, I think they called him. And he saw them doing this, and he was rich, so he wanted to buy what they were doing so he could do it. Acts 10:44-46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Wasn't there one time there were 3,000 converts? Yeah, that's a lot. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Notice here that they relate the Holy Spirit outpouring to the speaking of tongues. How did the believers know when they received the Holy Spirit in this way? Acts 2:4. The whole 120 begins to speak in other tongues. Acts 8:17. Notice Simon saw a visible sign, and in Acts 9:17, Paul spoke with tongues. So if we have a look at 1 Corinthians 14:8, tongues convinced Peter's companions that the Gentiles had received the baptism. Acts 19:6, tongues and prophecies were received by all those baptized, or these baptized believers. So a reasonable conclusion is that in all cases, the initial evidence was speaking with new tongues. Some years ago, I went to a church, and the guy at the door who I knew gave me a piece of paper, and it had a whole pile of stuff about speaking in tongues was no longer needed in our generation. And he had all the scriptures to prove it, except they weren't quite right. And because he gave it to me, a Pentecostal Baptist, it was a bit silly, really. So I just waited until those people have actually left the church now. They've retired. Lovely man, though. I'd never knock him. He was, when I was running the rehab, alcohol and drug rehab, when I was doing that, he was my supervisor. A really neat man. But unfortunately, him and a few others were quite deceived. Probably because in the 60s, 70s, the speaking in tongues was pushed far too much. And basically people were saying, if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't with it, which is rubbish, really. Everyone in this room can speak in tongues. You know that. It's sitting there. It's like a gift that sits there under the tree, but no one's opened it. Everyone's got it. You know, it's not the preacher going, yeah, you've got it. Everyone in this room has that gift. In fact, everyone in this room has all the gifts. It's just a matter of reading them. The only way those gifts are going to open is by me preaching to you or you reading your Bible. That's how the Spirit works. Okay, what's the use of tongues today? Tongues today is for speaking to God. If I wasn't able to speak in tongues, I would not be sitting here. I might be dead. I wouldn't be standing doing this because when I got to an emotional state where I had no words to use, I would speak in tongues to God. So it's kind of, you feel it coming up and out. It's like verbalized feelings coming out in this language, but it's out, it's gone. And it gives you a lot of peace. But anyway, that's how I used it. And I use it in other ways too. Anyway, tongues today is for speaking to God. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. It's a spiritual language. I was just thinking the other day, driving along in the car, I was thinking, you know, when you're driving along in a car, it doesn't matter what country you're in, if it says 50k or 60k, you understand it. So it's really interesting that that language is totally and absolutely international. Numbers. You know, it says 60k, you do 60k. It doesn't matter where you are, it'll say 60. Doesn't it? Does that happen? Those people that have travelled? Yeah. Okay, so tongues are given for worship and the purpose of magnifying God. Acts 2 earlier, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Christians and Arabs will hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. So that's different again. Acts 10:46, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So tongues today is for the edification of the church. Corinthians 14:5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. I mean, sometimes in a church meeting, it's happened to me a couple of times, I just feel the urge to speak in tongues out loud. So you do it, and then over here, someone will interpret what you just said. so that edifies the church. Right? I was at a church meeting once, and the place was absolutely packed. And a guy came up the front, and I thought, oh no, because I knew him. He was actually a psych patient. And he came up, and he got hold of the mic, because when people, we allow people to come up and prophesy, and when he came up, he just got into the mic and went wham into tongues. And then he went and sat down, and you could have heard it, I'm not joking, you could have heard a pin drop. Everyone was kind of, and so I was urged, I went forward and I gave an interpretation. The only time I've ever done it. But I did it because of the state of, I could see the state, people were quite, you know. So, and then of course someone said afterwards, so how did you get that interpretation? I said, well, I don't know, I just said whatever came out of my mouth. It's by faith. You know, we live by faith. We can't please God unless what? We have faith. So in that case, the message in tongues would be translated by the supernatural gift. It's a gift of interpretation, as in 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. I didn't make any of this up. This is all scripture straight from the Bible. Okay, tongues today is for the edification of the individual believer. That's what I was talking about before with myself. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. And we need more people in the prophetic. There's probably people sitting here who can do that. We need people to come up here and prophesy over the church. You know, I mean, I see this church as 200 people. That's the number God gave me. Might not be in my lifetime, but it's going to grow. I'm training leaders. Leaders are training. You become leaders. You train. The cell group thing of splitting, there's a whole idea behind that. You know? And so what if one group goes to the other group and you end up going to church 3 times a week? Great. Nothing wrong with that. You know? So, edified though not intellectually. It's not intellect. Okay. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Okay, so you might be going, Kuriana Matapaishti Kirata Potoku. I don't know what I said. God does. Someone here might know exactly what I said. You know? Notice Paul thanks God for the gifts. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Because that when that guy gave me that piece of paper, that's what I remembered. As soon as he gave me the piece of paper, God said, what was it Paul said? I thank you that I pray in tongues more than any of you. And this is a guy giving me a piece of paper saying that it's worthless. Really joking. It's worthless because Satan has this plan of trying to disable everyone, and he'll sneak in little things like, you don't have to speak in tongues. And because the first time people start getting into tongues, they have this fight going, should I, shan't I, should, is this real, is this just a moment, you know, have this battle that goes on in their mind. You know, like when I got first baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, I was sitting down with a guy called Jacob. And Jacob, I don't know if you know an evangelist in New Zealand called Marcus Arden. He's down south. And Jacob was responsible for bringing Marcus back to the Lord. And we were sitting down. He says, oh, so do you want to speak in tongues, Stephen? I said, well, everyone else is doing it. Why not? And he said, well, you just do it like this. Da-da-da-da. And I said, oh, like this. Da-da. He said, yeah, that's it. And that was it. It was that simple. Yeah. You'll know what I mean when it happens. Notice Paul thanks God for the gift. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you and wishes they had it. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. This is in verse 5. But I'd rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that they the church may be edified. Tongues today is a supernatural sign to unbelievers. Tongues then are a sign not for the believer, but for the unbeliever. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. And in Mark 16:17-20, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poisons, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you go and have to go out and drink poisons and pick up snakes just to see if it's right. Some people think some places around the world they've built churches around snakes, and you know they have services where they're picking up snakes and all this rubbish. You know, again, Satan has deceived them. It's not what it's saying. It's just saying that if it happened, actually happened to you, that you'd be okay. Our tongues, languages known and spoken on the earth. There are tongues of men, known languages, and tongues of angels, unknown languages. Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. May we expect any other supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit? Well, at least there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned. Okay, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. And we're told to desire these gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. So if you've got a prophetic ministry, go for it. But remember, the prophet has to be careful, because the prophet sees everything, good and bad. So if a prophet was to come up here all the time and say, whoa, 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 I'd probably get them aside and say, hey, listen, your prophecy has to be for uplifting the church. So I know that you see everything, you see all the negative points of everyone, but you need to be building up and exalting the church and building it up, you know, using the spirit of exaltation. Like, I think you're great people. I think you're genuine Christians. I don't think you're fakes. I haven't seen any fakeness at all in any one of you. I think you genuinely love the Lord, and the Lord is building a really powerful church here. It's only small, but a good time to learn. You're a powerful people. God has a purpose. So that's an uplifting prophetic thing. You know, I could go on and say, whoa, but some do this and some do that. And do, 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 do. I mean, what would be the use of that? The church needs to continue to be built up. And you need to believe what I'm saying. By faith. You're a good people. God has got you here for a purpose. You're not sitting in this seat because you thought, oh, I think I'll go to that place, or I'll get up and go to church. You're sitting here because the Holy Spirit drew you to this place. I have no doubt in my mind. There is a purpose for every single person, even the children that come to this place. Believe it. Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy, also in 12:21. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and in 14:39, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. The primary purpose of the gifts is to confirm the preached word of God. Mark 16:20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Acts 4:30, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So does that give you a better idea? Nothing that I've really said apart from some of my experiences. Everything I've said is from Scripture. It's from the Bible. I haven't misinterpreted anything. I've said it exactly how it's said. So let's stand and I'll pray. Pray that man's gout gets healed. Gout's horrible. Wrong diet, mate. Too much good stuff. So, Father, we have just looked at your word on the baptism of your Holy Spirit. As I said before, a pastor, a great mentor of mine, used to say, we are holy people, we leak, we need continually filling with the Holy Spirit, daily. Father, open the eyes and hearts of those who feel that they haven't as yet received your gifts. Touch them right now, Lord, that they will have a hunger to receive the baptism of your Holy Spirit. Father, build an excitement in their soul to receive this. Get excited. Feel that excitement in your soul, inside, in your heart. Feel that excitement that God wants to use you. This is the God of all creation, wants to use you because he loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Come on. That's big love. Touch him right now, Lord. Build that excitement. Now I'm going to do an altar call. You don't have to come up if you don't want to. But I'm happy to pray for anyone here that the Lord would touch you mightily and more than you know, and that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if I'm going to pray for you, I might pray in a strange language. You can even try copying it if you want. So I'll leave it up to you. I'll leave it up to you and God. But I'm going to wait here a few minutes, and if you want to receive that baptism, come up. Don't be shy. Don't let things hold you back from this sort of thing. Bless you, Father. Father, touch these people, moved by your Spirit in Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Touch them now in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit would descend on them, Father, that they would experience something new, something that will keep them going through the week, Father. These are a good people. Bless them in Jesus' name. Bless you, Father. Jesus. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you brought me out of where I was. And Father, I just love you to bits. Bless you, Jesus. musicians come up.
We would like to invite everyone again to continue to sing, to worship our amazing God, and how amazing church that we can join the heaven now as we worship our God.
Thank you.
God to lead and guide us, Father. We're rejoicing for the life that you have given us, Lord. In every detail of every day, Lord, there is joy to be found in you. Free us, Lord, from the sins of comparison and complaining, but instead, fill us with a grateful heart that sees the best in every situation, Father. Lord, great is thy faithfulness.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for never giving up on us.
also, Lord God, trampled on the ground. You took the fall, O Lord God. You took all our sins for us. And save us, O Lord God, and redeem us. Thank you, Lord.
Service. All of us feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you because He promised, God promised, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, men and women, Gentiles, Jews, whoever, wherever you are, whatever you are. It is not a selective Spirit. God has poured His Spirit to all of us. And with the pouring and outpouring of His Holy Spirit comes a gift. There will be change in your lives. There will be changes for the good, for the better. There will be still some worries and some stumbles along the way. But we have help. Jesus is there. He promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there with you till the end of the earth. We keep on to that promise. We hold on to that promise that we have a God who is in control of our lives. So whatever we are experiencing right now, let God be in control. Let His peace be with you, my brothers and sisters.
Let the power of the Holy Spirit through your life. Let there be no moment that there is no Holy Spirit within you, because that is what you are called for. That's why you're here. That's why we hear the voice and the word of God about His Holy Spirit outpouring. Father, we just praise you and give you thanks. Thank you for the blessing of being chosen to be of service to you. Father God, let it stop here right within us. Let it reach others, oh God. You call us, Lord, to talk and tell about you to others, to witness for you, the whole Father. Give us the strength, give us the courage. Just give us some anyway. So thank you. We praise you, we glorify you. Because we go on our ways again, for this coming, oh God. Let us not be misled, oh God. Don't allow us to follow our own conclusions or our own thinking. But we give it to you, all of it. We ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think. Father, inilalagay ko namin ang aming buhay sa inyo, Panginoon. Sa mga nagkakaroon ng mga doubts, na mga hindi alam kung ano gagawin sa kanilang kalagayan sa ngayon, itinadaas ko po sa inyo, Panginoon. Father, naibigay nila sa inyo ang buong-buong pagtitiwala, Panginoon. Lagi yung plano sa kanilang mga buhay ay isang mabuti. Let us follow you, beloved God. Let us see your will. Let us, Lord, hear your voice and direct us where we're going. Father, thank you. Thank you for all the people that you are here. Let the heart's desires of God be fulfilled. And show your mercy. Let the weight of your glory fall upon all of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much.
And some biscuits. Those biscuits are holy. And the coffee too.
You're all sitting there because the Holy Spirit's just hit you.
Exactly. I'm going to play the same one.